Welcome back to the program, and we're going to go underwater and look at the controversy over the Navy's use of sonar and how that impacts marine mammals, specifically whales, whose laws preside over U.S. coastlines anyway. State laws, federal laws, maritime laws, military, utility, what should take precedent? Over the last several years, that question of just which laws do rule over others have been at the heart of many environmental disputes. A great group called Seaflow works on that. That's their primary issue. NRDC, our partner, also does a lot of work on it. Earlier this week, things came to a head in the Pacific Ocean, where the Navy has overridden California state laws intended to protect whales and other marine mammals. The Natural Resources Defense Council has said that they will sue the Navy if California State's Coastal Commission does not. Today, Kara Horowitz from the NRDC's Marine Mammal Protection Program joins us for comment. Welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me.
So, first of all, what kind of precedents are there for this type of disagreement between the military and state laws?
Well, it's important to note that for many, many years, in fact for decades, states around the country, including California, have acted against those who undertake activities in state coastal waters or even outside state coastal waters if those activities affect the waters and, you know, marine mammals and the creatures in those waters to prevent harm to coastal zones. For many years, for example, California has regulated the oil and gas industry, other industries, and even the Navy itself in waters both sort of in and near the California coastal zone to work to protect those coastal resources, to protect whales, to protect fish, and to protect other coastal resources that are so vital to California's economy. So that's the precedent against which the Navy is acting this week.
So they said that they're just not going to comply with the commission. They're going to ignore it, can they, legally?
Yeah, so earlier in January, the Coastal Commission took a look at some upcoming Navy activities. The Navy proposed to use high-intensity military sonar in and near California coastal waters. The commission took a look at this and said, you know what, in order to be consistent with our coastal resources, in order not to harm our marine mammals and fish and other coastal resources, the Navy has to take a series of common-sense measures to protect whales and other creatures when it trains with sonar off of California. And the Navy has said no dice. Basically, the Navy has issued a broad refusal, not just to protect whales, but also a refusal of the Coastal Commission's very authority in these matters. Whether or not it can do so will likely be the subject of litigation, but we take the strong view that California's historic authority here still stands.
So the only thing they agreed to, I understand, is that they will submit any monitoring reports to the commission, and of course they could write up whatever they want.
Yeah, that's right. The Navy has agreed to submit monitoring reports to the commission concerning its sonar uses off of California and some of its effects that it sees on coastal resources off of California.
Are you confident that will be a full and honest declaration of what happens?
Well, in some ways, I think it's beside the point. California had had attempted to get the Navy to take a series of, like I said, very common-sense measures when it trains to protect marine life that would do much more than simply issuing reports to ensure that when the Navy trains, it's not harming whales and other creatures.
And how can they be sure? How can we measure sonar harm in whales?
Yeah, that's a good question. So at this point, there's essentially no scientific dispute that sonar training kills and injures whales. Whales have stranded around the world in association with Navy sonar training in places as remote and as near as North Carolina, Washington State, Greece, the Canary Islands, Japan. But often scientists worry about effects that are much more subtle than strandings and maybe sometimes harder to detect than mass whale strandings because whales and other sea creatures depend so much on sound for some of their vital life functions like feeding and avoiding predators and migrating, that when you start inundating their world with very, very loud sounds, you really interfere with those basic life functions in ways that might be hard to measure but might be quite significant.
Now, I read that the Navy has acknowledged that sonar, in fact, can contribute to the injury or even death of whales, so I suppose they're justifying using sonar in the name of national security?
That's right. The thing is, nobody's asking them not to use the sonar. The steps that the Coastal Commission had asked them to take were, for example, steps like avoiding key whale habitat. Out here in Southern California, we have the Channel Islands National Marine Sanctuary.
That would make sense. It's a big ocean out there.
Yeah, which is, you know, one of the most beautiful and most robust and diverse marine areas off of California. And in our view, and in the Coastal Commission's view, it just simply doesn't make sense for the Navy to be training there when it can go elsewhere. That's the kind of measure that the Navy has refused to adopt.
I visited a marine sanctuary down in the Channel Islands, so I assume they're not right there.
I don't think you can make that assumption. That's exactly the marine sanctuary I'm talking about. Mm. And the Coastal Commission asked them not to train in that sanctuary, and the Navy has refused to take that step.
Wow.
So that only leads one to conclude that the Navy is there.
Well, then why designate something a sanctuary?
That is exactly your point.
Okay. So what is your next move?
Well, at this point, we're waiting to see what the Coastal Commission is going to do to protect its jurisdiction and authority in these matters. As I understand it, the Coastal Commission is voting either today or tomorrow about whether to take the Navy to court itself. If it does, NRDC is certainly going to be right there with it to help it protect, as I said, its authority to safeguard our coasts. And if the Coastal Commission decides not to sue itself, NRDC will seriously consider bringing that lawsuit.
And you said that you're not asking them to stop using sonar. Is that the only technology or the best technology that is available for this testing purpose?
Yeah, the Navy uses sonar to detect enemy submarines. And
do we have a lot of those coming in these days?
You know, of course, all of that information is classified. But, you know, NRDC tends not to get into fights with the Navy about whether or not it really needs this technology. Of course, they're the experts, and so we wouldn't challenge them in that area. But really our point is that when it practices with sonar, when it's simply training to train its soldiers, you know, its men and women about how to use the stuff, it might as well do so in places where it will cause less environmental harm.
Well said. Well put. Anything our listeners should know or if they want to find out more about this issue?
Well, I encourage them to go to our website, www.nrdc.org, and to get involved with the fight. I think the more people realize, you know, what the Navy is doing in this area, the more outraged they'll be.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for bringing us up to date. That is the Natural Resources Defense Council's Kara Horowitz. She is with the organization's Marine Mammal Protection Program, and we'll be putting a link up on our website. You can find that at www.ecotalk.net. And I want to take a moment to tell our listeners about the podcast that you can get. If you go to our website and just sign up, it says sign up, there's a button there, you will get Feed Blitz. That's a service that doesn't cost you anything. I don't think it even costs us anything. So it's a wonderful service. And they will put in your inbox every day the show that we do here on the radio, and you can listen at your own leisure online whenever you like. So I want to mention that. I always forget about it because I'm not quite at the podcast stage yet. So if you'd like to listen to any of the programs that you might have missed or any of the segments you might have joined us partway through, just want to remind you to join up on our website and also to stay with us. We are going to bring you the very most important stories, the very biggest environmental stories out there. Every day, just want you to know what we do. We check the newspapers, we check the wires. I have so many people pitching me with great green products and programs every day in my inbox. I guess that's one of the benefits, although sometimes it's hard to get through and it doesn't feel like such a gift, of doing this beat for 10 years. So you can be sure that when you hear our program, it is what we consider to be the top stories. And if not, then we'll get authors who are coming through town. We try to give you a mix of sort of the hard scientific news. Sometimes it's a bit grim. And we try to combine that with features that tell you what you can do to live lighter on the planet. And we even try to use a little bit of comedy when we can, because after all, the way our world's going, sometimes it can get a little bit serious. So we hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll see you next time.